Welcome to the 20% True Podcast, Season 5, Monster of the Week, Episode 3, The South Shore Line Metro Sphinx. I'm Carolyn Rahaman. She's riding the South Shore Metro, her phone in her hand as she heads for home after a long day, her third at this new job. She's starting to get the hang of it. The sun is setting, and she's checking her social media accounts, one after another in a loop, hoping someone will have posted something new since she last checked, hoping that the algorithm will have different content this time. She doesn't really notice the train slow, but her body bobs forward as the train comes to a stop. Looking out the window, she finds that they're not at a station, but instead surrounded by cornfields. There's the pleasant ding that precedes an announcement, and she turns her face to the ceiling as if that's the source of the voice. Attention, passengers! The South Shore Line Sphinx has entered the train. Please consult the informational pamphlets located beneath the windows. We should be moving momentarily. Her eyebrows crinkle. South Shore Line Sphinx? Under each window is a plastic holder for trifold pamphlets, but the holder nearest her is empty. She can see some across the aisle. Some of the other passengers move without urgency to pluck them up. As a young guy in a business suit across the aisle opens his, she reads, How to Pass the South Shore Sphinx, a guide for commuters. The Metro logo is front and center. She's thinking about crossing the aisle to grab one, but she's not sure she can reach across without somehow pressing against the young guy in the business suit. And judging from the other passengers' relaxed responses, it seems like it would show an embarrassing level of concern on her part to ask the guy to pass her one. First time commuting? She's sitting in a front-facing seat that faces a backwards-facing seat. It felt less claustrophobic than the rows of front-facing seats. There's a man facing her. He's a balding white guy with glasses, but she doesn't look at his face for very long. She knows from the CTA that it's a bad idea to make too much eye contact with train guys. It's like an invitation. She's not sure if the same protections apply on the Metro commuter train. It's fancy in comparison. Even though the pamphlet holder is empty, the plastic isn't cracked or yellowed with age. No, she says. But you don't know about the Sphinx. She doesn't, but doesn't say so. He explains anyway. The Sphinx delays southbound trains. It asks a riddle and keeps the train from moving until somebody answers it correctly. Someone on the train stands up, looks the Sphinx straight in the eye, and answers. If they answer incorrectly, the Sphinx will eat them. They'll leave behind a messenger bag or an unmatched glove. She stares at the man in horror. He's messing with her. That can't possibly be true. The Sphinx will swallow, wipe his mouth on the back of a paw, and then turn to the next passenger. It will repeat the riddle until the Sphinx gets the answer he's looking for. The good news in this horrifying situation is that the Sphinx is not the cleverest Sphinx to walk the earth. Some people say that the Sphinx was exiled from its home in Egypt because it was too much of an embarrassment. But others say that it's native to North America, and we just don't grow good ones here. Some say that it was born in a zoo, or orphaned, or somehow raised away from other Sphinxes, so it never learned how to be properly cryptic. It only knows 5 riddles, and you could memorize the answers easily. Most seasoned commuters already know the answers, and they'll shout them at the Sphinx without looking up from their phone, so don't worry, we'll be moving shortly. She nods slowly, hoping this is the end of the conversation, and she'll be released from it enough to turn to her phone and Google what the Sphinx really is. He keeps talking. As this is your first time on the train, she'd already said it wasn't, but... You should prepare for the slim chance that you end up alone in a car without an experienced soul to answer the riddle and save you from certain death. He grins at the end, like that doesn't sound threatening. First riddle! He throws up a single finger to count. Sometimes I walk behind you, sometimes in front. It's only at night that I leave you. He stares at her, waiting. The idea of him walking behind her has her too rattled to think. A shadow, he says. But you've probably heard that one before, or you've heard a better version of it. I only live where there is light, but I die if the light shines on me, or what is big as an elephant but weighs nothing at all, or I crawl on the earth and rise on a pillar, or I crawl on the ground but never get dirty. I think those are all much better, don't you? As I said, the Sphinx isn't the best. Second riddle. I have an eye but cannot see. I move fast but have no limbs. Again, he stares at her, waiting for an answer. Is this train guy seriously asking her riddles? A hurricane, he says. That's the answer the Sphinx is looking for anyway. If you answer with a tornado, the Sphinx will be angry because he hadn't thought of that. Even if other people before you have said tornado, that doesn't mean the Sphinx remembers. Of course, some people think that he does, in fact, remember, but he's so outraged by this snot-nosed answer that he's doubling down on the incorrect notion that it's wrong just to make a point. The Sphinx is prideful and belligerent and does not take well to creative answers, and neither do I. She has no idea what's happening. Out of the corner of her eye, she looks to the young guy in the business suit, but he's absorbed in his phone. Third riddle! If you drop me from the tallest building, I'm fine. If you drop me in water, I die. Do you know? With the Sphinx looking you dead in the eyes, could you answer? His eyes bulge. She thinks she probably couldn't. She realizes a split second too late that that would have been the perfect opportunity to dash for a pamphlet and throw herself into reading it. But already he's shouting, "Paper!" "What's that you say? Paper doesn't do so well if it's dropped from a skyscraper? Well, how would you know? Have you tried it? No, you haven't, because they don't let people throw stuff off the top of buildings. That's littering. Are you admitting to littering? And even if you did throw some paper, like, say, a flyer for guitar lessons you stole off a street sign, you hoodlum, how do you know it survived the fall? What, you went down to the street and searched around until you found that very same guitar lesson flyer, which, according to you, was destroyed beyond all recognition. Then how do you know it was the same flyer? Ah, jeez, she thinks. And I know paper doesn't die, he says. It's a metaphor. Haven't you heard a riddle before? She doesn't answer, because it doesn't matter. Fourth riddle. You bury me when I'm alive and dig me up when I'm dead. She wonders why the riddles are all so threatening, but, well, she knows why. A plant! I think that one's kind of clever. Who knows where the Sphinx picked it up? Certainly didn't think of it itself. Oh, that reminds me, do not try to teach the Sphinx better riddles. Now, you may say that you could bury someone alive and then dig them up to check that you had successfully murdered them. But my question for you, smarty pants, is what then? Huh? Oh, that's right. You bury them. The riddle didn't ask, what do you bury when it's alive, dig up when it's dead, and then immediately bury again? No, I bet you feel foolish now. And don't give me that they could be cremated nonsense. I'm trying to save your life, and you're repaying me by being purposely obtuse. Great, you do that. Don't listen to me. Get eaten by the Sphinx. He huffs, turning to the window. And when will the train start moving? But then he spins back around and holds up all five of his fingers. By now she's calmed down a bit. This guy clearly has some stuff going on in his life, and while it's pretty threatening, she can also be compassionate. Last riddle. What comes down but never goes up? Rain, she says. Rain, he says. And don't give me any of that water cycle BS. That's not rain when it goes back up, it's water vapor. Those are different. And don't give me that broken elevator nonsense, or bringing back up that paper you supposedly destroyed by throwing it off a building after breaking onto the roof. And don't tell me it's a dead body, because those come back up all the time, and I feel like we've already had this conversation. She's glad that he specified that there were only five riddles, and that he remembered that fact by the time he got there. She looks around to the other commuters in her car. Some of them hold onto their pamphlets, having them ready, just in case the Sphinx enters the train car, and suddenly the answers evaporate from their heads. She pictures them clearly reopening the pages and reading aloud the correct answer in bold-faced type. She doesn't picture their hands trembling. She doesn't picture them gaping and speechless as the Sphinx rattles nonsense. They'll read a single magical word, and the Sphinx will nod its approval, turn, and leave. Some commuters have returned their pamphlets to their clear plastic holders, while others have seemed to have forgotten they are holding the papers, and now stare, unseeing, out the windows. They'll find the pamphlet in their coat pocket later tonight. Still others never moved to consult the riddle answers in the first place. The intercom dings a happy tone, and the train moves once more, a sign of victory by someone from one of the front cars. But there's no fanfare. The young guy in the business suit doesn't even seem to breathe a sigh of relief. He simply replaces the pamphlet he was holding behind his phone to its holder. The man across from her stands. "You remember that. Don't get eaten." "Okay," she says. He nods once and heads to the sliding door further down the car. At the next station, he steps out. She Googles South Shore Line Sphinx. Google asks her if she meant to spell Sphinx correctly. She did. The seasoned passengers know the riddles. They know to add a 5-minute delay to their travel plans. They know to sit in the rows of forward-facing seats. They know what the scenery out the windows look like as they fly past, and they no longer need to marvel at it. They no longer stretch forward to search as the train starts moving again, watching the cornfields for the trail of the Sphinx as it wanders away from the train. The 20% True podcast was written and produced by me, Carolyn Rahaman. Music was composed by Kamiku. If you like the show, please be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts so other people can discover it. Follow the show on Facebook at facebook.com/20percenttrue. Visit my website, 20percenttrue.blogspot.com, for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews. And follow me on Twitter at Carrie and the Hits.